Blog Talk Radio.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you. Nice. The sugar is fine. I feel nice. The sugar is fine. So nice, so nice. I got you. I feel nice. The sugar is fine. So nice, so nice.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory! Woo! You better put them hands together and act like you know up in here.
Here.
Woo!
Let me up and go and do something that really got me down.
Put your hands together. another level. Come on. So, can you help me?
When I think about the goodness and the fullness of God, make me thankful, pity the hateful, I'm grateful. The Lord brought me through this far. I'm trying to be cute when I praise Him, raise Him high. I keep the live beat bumping, keep Him jumping, make the Lord feel something. Ain't no shame in my game, God's property. Hitting big with curse, ain't no stopping me.
Okay. GP, are you with me? Okay, fellas, let's get this Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show going and up and on. We've got a little bit of information we want to put out. We got some information on Mylan Dragway. Not but a little, but some news did come out, so I'm going to say I was going to keep you guys posted on what I hear and what's going on. The track, well, I'll bring it up a little later. I'm going to wait until everybody get on the show so I don't have to repeat it over and over and over and over and over. So, all right, I want to welcome everybody to the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show here Sunday, October the 3rd. Man, I've been real busy, people, after getting back in town. And I got a lot of work I got to do, and then you start thinking, man, winter about to set in here in a little bit. I got a lot of stuff I got to do now. Good God Almighty. So, and I know I never get caught up on none of this stuff. Every year it's the same old, so I just have to do what I can each and every day. And what you get accomplished, cool. If you don't, oh well. You just end up losing or you try again next year. But with that being said, let's move on to the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show. I want to thank everybody for calling in. We're going to have I got one of my hosts out here. He's going to come with us with a topic, and we're going to discuss that, or we might finish up what we was talking about last week. Whatever y'all want to do, I'm game for it. There is a race for those that like to travel. My boy 1L is giving a race, but you got to travel from here to his track is 8 hours. sort of like when we used to go to Black Sunday in St. Louis, but it's 8 hours to get to where his track at is at Benson. For those that want to go, Melvin was talking about going. Uncle Rob was talking. Robert Wilson was talking about going. I don't know if anybody else even know about it, but we're going to put it out there. So if you want to travel, travel. If you can't. But it is good to go different places, people, and meet people, socialize with them, fellowship with them, and get to know what they're doing in different states. And you become friends, and then you can turn around and race your friends. Oh, man, that's a topic. Can you race your friends? Hell, what you got to say about it? But anyway, and you have to forgive me because I'm a little tired. I've been doing some work today, and I've got to get some of this work caught up. So just bear with me. I'm a little tired. So we might run the show the full 4 hours, or we might do 2 hours. It's up to y'all, whichever y'all want to do. But I'm going to open up my one of my co-hosts from Maryland and see what he got for us, see if there's any racing going on out there in Maryland and the DMV area. My brothers and sisters over on the East Coast, they be getting it in, people. They be getting it in. And they don't mind traveling, especially my boy Long Island Joe. He's been to Detroit. He's been to Chicago. He's been to Florida. He's been all over, so he don't mind traveling. Think about it. It's not that big of a thing when it comes to traveling. It don't take much to put a few things together and go traveling. Oh, boy, here come that Michigan weather. It's about to start. I hear it starting to rain outside. But nevertheless, still, we're going to continue with the show. Let me get this mic open, and we're going to go ahead on and get some things done here on the show and see what y'all got to talk about, because I'll sit here and talk about whatever's on my mind. But my co-host, Brother Unknown, how you doing, bro?
Yes, I'm good. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, first of all, I want to give all our praises and thanks, you know, to our Creator, and thanks for another day of being above ground, you know. We had beautiful weather here today also. And what I like to talk about, if everybody want to talk about it, is why you're going to pick somebody to be the man of the year, the Grudge Racer of the Year. Well, and why you pick them? That's one thing I like to talk about. Then the next thing I like
Wait
to talk
minute, say
about.
That, say that. What is that? What was that first one again? Why what?
Why would you give a certain person the Grudge Racer of the Year? You know, why would you give it to them? What's your reason for doing it?
Okay.
And who do you think it is?
Ooh.
That's one topic. You got it?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to write it down.
Okay. And the second one I'd like to go along with, if someone, you know, in your neighborhood or around your close area build race cars and qualify to do, you know, certain things to your car that you need, would you go to them, or would you go to somebody way off, and what is your reason for doing that?
Okay, say that again now.
If somebody close around you that build race cars and that's been doing it for a while and they know quite a bit about building race cars and they have proven that this can happen, why would you go far away from home to someone else?
Mm-hmm. Good question. Good topic. Good topic. Now,
so those are the two things right there. Yes.
Let me write these down. So somebody's gonna come up late on in the show and be asking about these topics.
Uh huh.
Now that last one you said, if you have somebody local
that's been building, you know, race cars for a long time, and, you know, you will leave and pass their shop and go to another part of the world to get your stuff built instead of going to them. Why?
Okay.
Those are two, you know what I mean? If they can fit in and they want to work on them, and I got my reason for both of them. Reason why I would pick certain people for Grudge Racing of the Year, and the person why I would leave town or stay in town and be with the person, you know, that's doing the work there. I got my reason for both of them.
Okay, now that first one you had, give me that first one again. I know.
The first one is, who do you think is the Grudge Racer of the Year, and why would you pick him? What reason did you pick that person to be that man in that seat and got that crown on his head?
Gotcha. Okay. Okay, excellent topic. Excellent topic. We might be able to do one or both of them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Man, you be coming up with some doggone good questions.
And the thing is, you want to know the reason why they're doing what they're doing. You want to know the reason why they're doing
right.
it. Or why they say that.
Right. Oh, wait, I'm glad you did bring up that second one. That second one you brought up, that second one you just brought up kind of touched home to me. I got a buddy of mine that stay down south. He's got a car that's been in Chaffee Prison for, I want to say 4 years, bro.
Mm-hmm.
4 years. And I'm not going to give the names due to the fact that it might incriminate him. But the car been in Chaffee Prison for 4 years. And I remember he was looking for, he had called me and asked me, Shake and Bake, you know anybody that, they could put my car together up there in Detroit. I told him I wouldn't recommend him. I wouldn't recommend some people because I didn't want to be liable. So I told him he just had to look on his own. He ended up, he went to Chicago and checked some places there, Florida, and somewhere on the West Coast. But anyway, the guy that he had to buy to fix his car, oh my God. He did a lot of work. He had like 90% of it done. I want to say 95% of it done. And then the man died.
Man.
I brought that topic up probably about a year or so ago, and then prior to that. At that time, the guy was working on it, but he was working on it slow. And he actually wanted to fix the car, truly did. And he wanted my boy's car to be special so he can go out, kick butt, and it'll give him a name for itself, the builder. It would put him on the map. But the man's health got the best of him. So.
Yeah, that's the second one.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. But at least he didn't lose no money out the deal because he was the type of person he paid up front. Here, what you need. Here's some money. Go get it. Here, what you need. Here's some money. He didn't have a bill. That was kind of hurting. And it turned out pretty good because he got his car back and he was able to recover his car, but the man just didn't do the last, I would say, 5% of working on the car, and that was just some wiring it up. And then he was going to go to the track. He was going to go to the track with him and see to it that it's tuned properly at every race he go to. So he was about to get
You know, that's something when you got to go behind somebody else's work That's something, because you don't know exactly what they did.
Well, I don't know if that's what he's going to do. Matter of fact, I hadn't talked to him lately. Is he gonna take the car somewhere else? Is he gonna sell the car? Is he tired of going through all this? I don't know. I haven't did no updates with him since I left down south. But dang, that's a messed up situation there. But it could have been worse.
It's a bit much.
It could have been worse.
It is a bit much. It's a lot. Tell you.
Okay, I got another co-host. I got another co-host calling in. Let me open up his mic. All right, just hold tight for a second. Unknown. Okay, we got who we got at the door. This is Corey. What up, Corey?
What's happening, fellas? What's happening? Another Sunday.
Another Sunday. You know, is it raining over there near you?
No. Well,
it's raining over here, dog. It just came down as a shower. It ain't like a washout. It just came down all of a sudden and wet the ground. And I didn't stop.
Well, it's
coming this
way.
We got some crazy weather, bro.
Yes, I know.
We do.
That's that time of year.
Mm-hmm. So what's been going on with you, Corey?
Another dollar. That's about dollar. Yeah.
Yep, still grinding. I hear you, man. Oh, Corey, I don't know if you're in the mood to do any traveling. One of our boys, Waddell, is throwing a race. It was supposed to have been today in Benton, Illinois, not too far from Black Sunday. It's the same distance from Black Sunday to that track. But they rescheduled it for next Sunday. So I'm gonna put it out here, and I'm gonna see if I can get Mike Solomon to come on and put their plot out here about that race for those that might want to go. Melvin was talking about going. Robert Wilson was talking about going with Top Secret, the truck.
Yeah,
but that ain't been confirmed. You know, he mentioned it to me. Melvin mentioned it to me. I don't know. We'll see.
Who gonna do it?
Huh?
Never mind.
What'd you say?
Never mind.
I think I heard what you said. I just wasn't sure. I'm gonna say it. You ain't gotta say it. You said, who going to drive?
yeah.
That's a damn good question. That's a damn good question. If you got a hell of a plan, I know, but I caught it on the end. he's got a damn fast truck. I don't think nobody on this show or nobody within this in this city of Detroit can probably fuck with it. Like you said, who going to drive?
Right, shit.
Oh,
he got a
man.
Bad piece.
He just need a driver. Hey, did Mark ever get a driver for his car, his Firebird?
I don't know. I ain't talked to Mark in a minute.
Yeah, I got to find out, see if Mark got a driver, or is he still looking through the yellow pages for a driver? I told Mark a long time ago, I said, Mark, you need to get behind the wheel of your own car. Out of all this time, he's been looking for a driver since the winter. Since last winter. Yeah, not this past winter, not January, but during the beginning of the COVID, he was looking for a driver. And I told him then, I said, man, you probably come out better just practicing and getting familiar with your car and going out there and testing and drive your own car.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all this time, it's been a year and a half or so, he could have learned how to drive his car.
Yeah, Mark had been in his car, though.
Huh?
I've seen him get in it. Mark had been in his car. I've seen him get in it a few times, though. It did
That's
take time.
I wish he would. I really do. I wish he would. It ain't that big of a deal. If you want to learn something, just practice. You ain't got to go out there and jump in there and do a quarter mile right now. Just go out there and practice starting it up, knowing where all of your switches and stuff is at. Get a feel of driving it, you know, out the driveway, back it up, put it back in the driveway, wherever he's at. Get familiar with your car real good, and then just do a 60-foot and get out of it. 60-foot and then get out of it. Come back, do another one, get out of it. Get the feel of your car, you know, just like when we was kids. We didn't start running and playing basketball. We learned how to stand up, and before that we was crawling, but we learned how to stand up, and then we took 1 foot in front of the other, and soon we'd be driving down the racetrack.
Yeah,
all right.
I'll tell you what.
What?
Next year it's gonna be on and popping. Under the circumstances I'm going through right now, I can't do nothing.
Right. So you're gonna be on and popping next year, huh?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. So you're gonna pop them and knock them out, and then we're gonna be saying, "Down goes Frazier."
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Not one, but two. Nightmare.
Hey, I hear you talking, Corey. You said due to certain circumstances, I know what that's all about. So, yeah, when things get a little bit better, it's going to clear the way in a minute. It's going to clear the way in a minute. Because if you notice, it's been slowly ticking away little by little. But like I say, anytime you need some help with something, man, just let me know. I'll put my 2 cents in and see you through this.
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, Brother Jake got a topic out here, Corey. Were you on when he brought up the topic?
Mm-mm.
You want me to give it to him, Brother Unknown?
Sure.
What's up, Unknown?
How you doing, bud?
All right.
That's a good thing.
Okay. He's got two. Which one you want me to start with, Unknown?
I'm going to leave that up to you, Shake.
All right. The first topic he came up with, Corey, he said, who do you think is Grudge Racer of the Year and why?
That's good.
Yeah, it's
you already know
one.
What I'm going to say. I got to tip my hat off. I gotta go with Boss Byron. You know, Boss Byron is traveling in, putting in work. You know, he putting in. Jamie doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. Jamie putting in work, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a toss-up right there, though. But I got to go with Tony Byron. Man, getting up there going.
Okay. Because there's no right or wrong answer. That's just your opinion. Everybody has their own opinion. And, who they like, and you said the reason why is because he's been traveling, he's been getting around, still doing his thing. Boss Byron, I had to hand it to him. That's a good one. Ross Byrne has been in the media a lot. He's been winning some races. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a real good one. Hold on 1 second. We got somebody at the door. Hold on. We got somebody at the door. 708-6632. Who we got, caller?
What's going on, man? Drag Nation News, man.
Phone call from.
Oh, what's up, Sean?
What's going on, man? How everybody doing?
Good, man. Yeah, we good.
Oh,
that's... You been all right?
Oh, yeah, man. Just making sure everybody know about the race. You know, next week, big drag this new cancer awareness event.
What day is that on?
October the 10th, next Sunday. October the 10th.
Man. Oh, man. I sure forgot about that, Sean.
Yeah.
I sure forgot about it. Because somebody gave us some news. Somebody, one of the guys, on a race on the same day. And they asked me, was I going? I told them, I said, I don't know. I probably end up going to Big Drag's race instead. Because the other race is 8 hours away. Okay.
Well,
I'm glad you came on and reminded me.
Oh yeah, man. We're gonna do the biggest thing is that cancer awareness walk starts at 12 o'clock sharp. Where we walk from the starting line to the 8th mile and then we walk over to the pink bleachers, which we call the cure. And man, we want everybody to sign either their names or sign whoever name they know that been through cancer or somebody that's going through cancer or somebody who passed through from cancer, whatever, you know. That's how we want to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely got the small tire shootout, the big tire shootout, the daily driver shootout, and the golf cart race.
Okay, you got the small tire shootout, big tire shootout, the daily driver,
and the golf cart.
First of all, place on your golf cart in the game.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a good time.
Okay, in the golf cart. All right.
Want everybody to come on down and have a good time?
No. And we're raising money for the cancer consultant.
Am I still in charge of the golf cart race?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good. I don't think I'm going to finish. I got a golf cart I'm building for it, but
hold on,
ain't gonna
hold
be
on,
ready
hold on one
next,
second.
Next week.
All right, after he, I had to put it back on speaker. What you saying now?
I say I'm building a golf cart for that race, but it ain't gonna be ready next week.
Okay.
Because NASA didn't send me all the parts I needed for the golf cart. It's on back order.
Oh,
I needed a chip, and I needed some turbos, and it's on back order. So,
y'all call you right back. I got an important call. I'm going to call you right back.
Okay, go ahead and handle your business. We're going to hold it up until you get back. Corey, that was a race I was just telling you about in Benton, Illinois. That's next Sunday. Goodness.
Mm.
The one I was just telling you about, Big Drag's race is on the same day. And drag ain't but 4 hours away. That one's 8 hours. Goodness. I wanted to make both of them. I didn't think drag's race was coming up this soon.
Mm.
Oh, well, we can't make them all, shucks. Can't make them all.
Trick or treat after that. You know that, right?
Yeah, everything's piling up on me, man. Good.
Yeah, that, man, that's a lot of racing to be going on. I'm saying, like, in that, normally October, but then October comes going around, about to go around quick.
Yeah, because Trick or Treat is going to be what, 15th, 16th, 17th?
Yeah.
That'll be the week after next.
Yes, sir.
Sure,
Dave, we got something going on at LaPierre next Saturday. Well, Peso got his little something to shoot out. But damn.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is, man.
Oh, man.
I got to get prepared. I got to prepare for winter, man. I can't be messing around.
I hear you, bro. God, dog. There's something else coming up on the 16th, too. I ain't got the final say on it yet, but we just got to keep our ears open.
Locally?
Mm-hmm.
You talking about locally or no?
Huh?
Locally?
Oh, okay. Oh, man. You know what? I might just do two more races this year and call it quits. I definitely got to do Baldy's race. That's in Florida.
Oh.
I got to figure out what one more race I'm going to go to. Shoot, I don't know. I might do Trick or Treat and cancel Florida.
Well,
these races coming up and popping up like this is getting in the way, Corey. It's getting in the way. All right.
Nevertheless. I'm about to roll. I got to roll my plow. I got to get that thing together before it get too damn cold.
Yeah. Is it broke or something, or you just got to do some maintenance to it?
Maintenance. Okay. I said maintenance. Put some new shocks on it.
Okay. Did you get that gearbox on?
Yes, sir, and I caught hell.
Welcome to the big league, dude. Welcome to the big league.
Right.
I know, that's right. They ain't no joke, man. They ain't no joke.
So the fuck ain't.
Mm-hmm.
No, but shit, hey, man, when you sometimes you got to make something happen, shit, when you ain't, you know, when you running low.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ain't no harm in going out there digging the ditch.
Mm-mm.
Sometimes you have to.
No, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Let's get to moving. Where we stopped off at was, you said Boss Bind would be the grudge racer of the year, and you gave us a reason why. Brother Unknown, you got an answer for that? You got an answer for that?
Well, he select perfect. He definitely select the perfect person. And if you want me to tell you why I'm saying what I'm saying, I can do that too. You want me to tell you?
Yeah, you might as well.
Okay. Well, Boss Vine, he's been racing all year. And when he go there, he raced two or three different people. No matter who it is, he still get criticized. Look like everybody attacks him. He will come back and will race you and have a good time, and he will stand up for himself. And that's what I noticed. And, I mean, he gets attacked from every different way, but that still don't stop him from racing. And he might not race, you know, some of the big top boys sometimes, and that's smart. You can't go out there, you know what I mean, with a knife to a gunfight. He got to wait until he get his stuff together. It seems like the rest of the people don't understand that they still attack the man. But the man will go out there, whether he get paid, you know, to punk out, whether he beat his butt beat, or whether, you know, he pays somebody else to punk out, he still will get up there. And I would have gave it to Skin, or I would have gave it to Chicken Man, because Chicken Man and Skin was getting busy too before both of them had the accident. Willie Dog, mm-hmm. I would give it to him because he races all the time, too. But he was shut down for a little bit, you know, couldn't go out there and race for a little while, waiting on his car, I guess, waiting on parts or whatever the deal was. But Boss Mine going to find somebody to race. So that was my reason that I say for Boss Mine. You're going to find somebody.
And I tell you something else, that's why I say there's no right or wrong answer, because some people don't get information on Chicken Man. Some people get more of their information might be on Boss Mine, or they might get more information on Willie Dog. So that's why I say it's not right or wrong answer, because the information ain't printed out on a sheet and handed out to everybody. So you just got to follow who you like, and if you like them, vote for them. Now, I got a question to ask you since we're on this Grudge Race of the Year award. You remember years ago, Jay Bonds used to put up a banquet at the end of the year. And Pro Stock Joe used to do a banquet. The banquet for Jay Bonds is kind of like stopped, or it kind of went away. I don't know if Pro Stock Joe is going to do a banquet, but whichever one does a banquet is based off of the people that Pro Stock Joe affiliated with, and they had their own little voting. Now, when it comes to different areas, here in the Midwest, you might have Leaky Leon, you might have Melvin's, you might have 6 Mile Randy. Well, 6 Mile Randy haven't did anything yet, but his team members have.
Yeah, Jesse John, Johnny Black, Bird.
Yeah. So, whatever the area is, I think the people in that area need to do some voting and decide on whether or not such and such person should be Grudge Race of the Year. Like here in the Midwest, we should have our own banquet. We should have our own Grudge Race of the Year. It just seemed like certain areas and certain people is going to get a lot of attention because they've been doing it for a long time. Now, I'm sure there's more than one, two candidates. Tony Bryan is a good candidate, but I'm sure it's more on the East Coast that's racing and doing a lot, too.
Saying that, but you know, if you listen, I mean, we know people, somebody here know people from everywhere around the world. Now, I mean, this guy don't sit down. I mean, he gets out there, get him two or three every time he go to a race, whether it's the punk out being paid or whether he getting it or whether he getting his butt whipped. And when regardless of whatever happens, he right back the next week or the next day doing the same thing again. So that's one of the main reasons why I picked this guy. This guy is definitely putting it in. And then plus, he know how to race. He know how to race. And then when all these guys go attacking him, he know how to deal with that. He know how to talk them off, change the subject, and come back and get you. Well, you know what he lined up with. So he ain't no joke. And he ain't doing no running. You might think he running. But you stay around, he's going to be there. That's why I picked him myself. Mm-hmm. That's the person you are. I ain't never met the guy. I've never seen him. Yep.
No? Never?
No, but it speaks for itself. I listen at enough road things that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know. The guy, I mean, he's definitely, you know, doing his thing. Week in, week out, no matter how it turn out, he's right back at you.
Yeah, he is. A damn good candidate for Grudge Race of the Year.
And then he a hunter. He a hunter. If you go to a race and something don't work out, he don't stop hunting. He keep right on hunting. He be bringing up names you never heard of before. This guy's a hunter. Whether he get whipped or whatever the deal is, he's a hunter. He got to get it. I mean, in my book.
Hey, did anybody see the race between him, Tony Bond, and J.R. Gray?
No, yeah, I was listening to him, and he got by him. He got by him.
That's
another
example.
Did you see his part? Yeah, I seen it. I was watching on
Can you send me the video of it? Because, wait a minute. The one I seen, it didn't come out too clear. If you can, Corey, send me the one you was looking at or text me. So what you found to that, and I'll look it up. But what car was J.R. Gray in?
J.R. Gray was in his Mustang.
Huh?
J.R. Gray was in his Mustang.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can find a clear one, because the one I was looking at, you can barely see it. But yeah, he lined up with anybody, and he pulled that off, and
that's it.
That got his name back in the media again.
But you know, the guy picks on him, man.
Huh?
People pick on that guy. A team, they team up on him. I listened to that.
Mm-hmm. What
did
they call?
Yeah, that's true. But you know, mm-hmm. I like about Boss Byron, though. He gonna get out
What's
there that? And hit that road. He gonna come up to the north. He gonna travel all over the country, and he gonna get down. He ain't about that. Oh, take this off,
somebody
take that
it.
Off. He gonna get up there.
Somebody gonna get it. Yeah, somebody gonna get it for that night show. Somebody gonna get it. Two or three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I don't care how fast a car go or what somebody got, but when there's a guy like that that's going to go jumping up there, man, I watch that every day. You know? Then to have somebody just come around once in a while, because somebody come once in a while, I'd rather see somebody jumping up there every day myself. I mean, me personally.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to have two or three girls. And he's going to have two or three girls right there.
That's it?
Yeah.
Somebody gonna get it.
Yep. Tony's good for a $1,200, $1,500 race.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere he go. Everywhere he go, he good for a $1,200, $1,500 race. He don't try
for
to bet all wild like $3,000 or $4,000, $5,000. He ain't trying. You don't hardly see him do no stuff like that.
But
he keeps it the average. Yeah, he keeps it the average right around about $1,200, $1,500 for a race.
He's good for the fans. He's good for the racetrack owners. He's good for all of them. He's going to bring them in there. Because they know if he's coming there, something's going to happen. You ain't going to spend your money for nothing. Something's going to happen.
Right. So
that's
he's
why
a
I said
good
I would go watch him.
I
would go watch him before I watch anybody else racing. I don't care how fast you are. I'd rather go watch his racing. Because something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another.
Good report. Real
anybody
good
else
report,
want to
know
how
I know.
To it again? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I just like to see good, clean action, man. Get down, all that going back and forth. Get up there. Man, the best
That's
man
it.
Win.
That's it. That's it.
I agree with you, Corey. I agree with you because when two people get in the paint together and they go down that track, man, we want to see some action. If one person thinks he's better than the other, just get out there and prove it. You ain't got to argue. You ain't got to undress a person, tell them to take this and that off. Just go out there and race.
Oh, yeah. But I understand the game real well. And I understand, you know, how it works when you have other people on your team. You know, somebody will come at you from this angle. Then somebody else will try to come at you from that, trying to get you confused or, you know, trying to get you to look down on yourself or whatever or force you to. I understand all that game and stuff like that. But, see, I see that guy deal with that night in and night out. They're coming at him all kind of ways. And they still don't stop him. He still go out there and get his man. And then if he's ready for them, if they're in the way, he's going to get them too. He done it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I
tell them.
And Willie Dog the same way, and Ballhead the same way, and Chicken Man is the same way. But you know they had their folks. They had two accidents, Skin and Chicken Man. Wasn't for that. I mean, hey, them guys right there, they would have went out there and did something too. Dog too, because he'd jump on anybody too.
Mm-hmm. Man, Chicken Man was at 42 a few months ago, and he had some problems with his car. Thank God he didn't get a chance to get out there and hurt himself. But he's always in the limelight. Skin is always in the limelight.
Yeah, they do it anyway. They do it anyway on the street, on the track. Them guys don't care. They do it anyway, wherever. That's why I said I would have to think about it if both of them had stayed live the whole summer, didn't have the accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
They don't only talk it. They'll get in there. You know what I mean? They'll get in there and try you. And that's what I like. I like when you're going to get in there. Come on up here.
Hmm. Man, that's the name. That's it right there.
Get up here.
I think people need to get back to that, dog. Girls racing, dog. You know,
yeah,
girls
right.
racing ain't the same.
No.
No, you ain't got a better
you
whole
know what?
Lot of money to get up there.
You're right. And it's a chosen few. It's a chosen few of them that steps into the paint. They don't care what it is or what it takes. They jump up there and grab their man and go race. And I like that. I like that.
And then all night you'll be hunting other people.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be hunting other people all night too. If you want some, we can get some more. I like when it comes like that. It's worth my money.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Yeah, we. Yeah, I like to see it like that too. Well, I. Mm-hmm. You letting the no prep guys take over.
You know why? Because them guys doing the same thing. They're getting up there. Them no prep guys, they're getting up there. They're going out there.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're getting up there. And they're risking their life with no ambulance and nothing around there waiting for them in these parking lots and this and that. And them guys getting up there. And they would jump on.
Yeah.
I seen some of the slowest calls jump on some of the big dogs. They get up there. And some of them win.
Yeah, I did about to say that too, yeah.
Like some of them win.
Anybody can win.
And that's good. And the reason why the no prep is stepping up there like that is because when one area slows down, there's another area you can go to. There will be another no prep, a pour your own puddle at Onondaga before the year out, Corey.
Man, it's Saturday, matter of fact, this coming Saturday.
Is it this Saturday?
Bruh, about this same.
And they're going to get up there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
Anyway, been
sneaked up on me. Well, I'm just going to have to any, many, many more and pick one and go to it.
Well, you know, once you go up on that line, it's anybody game. You can shut off. Your stuff can go in the tie shape. I mean, a whole bunch of different stuff. You know, you can forget to turn something on or whatever. I mean, in these races, man, anything can happen. No matter how fast you are, how bad you are, it's not guaranteed that you're going to have that crown on your head. You know, it ain't guaranteed.
It's racing at the end of the day. Win or lose.
You know, a consistent man is a good man. The man come out there and he consistent what he do every week. And he ain't got to be the fastest one as long as he consistent. He can get that car from point A to point B. If he can get that car from point A to point B, he got the right gears in there and you know, got the balance all right, got the struts and stuff set right and stuff. You got the right horsepower, the right combination. Let me put it that way. Just play the right combination. And don't be slow neither, but, you know, he ain't got to be the quickest. But he consistent. Man, that car gonna give you hell. I would bet on that car every day, that trucker car.
Yeah, they say consistency win races. You gotta get in it to win it.
That's it.
And that's what these fellas is doing. They jumping into the paint.
Yep.
I know Corey gonna do the same thing next year.
That's a good thing.
He's gonna jump.
Yes, sir.
He's gonna jump into the paint.
Man, I'm gonna get whooped. I'm gonna whoop somebody.
There you go.
I'm gonna get my ass right back up there too.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
You
yes, got sir. My vote. You
definitely got my vote. Yes, sir. That's how I go, shit. Hey. I'll be ready. Shit.
Yeah, you getting up there, man. You got my vote.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Oh,
like that.
I meant to tell you. I don't mean to take you off your subject. On that re-end, Corey, on a dually truck re-end, that gear oil that goes in the back, it needs to be flushed and some new oil put in there, gear oil put in there. And you got the seals and everything together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You got the axle seals?
Yeah.
Okay, so that way.
I'm glad you told me that, though.
Yeah, because you know them axle seals right there by the brake, right up under the brake shoes. It's a big old axle seal go right there. That's got to be new and put in, and then when you put the change of fluid, it has to. Those seals keeps the fluid in, and because I had a customer last week call me and say his rear end went out. And I said, what kind of vehicle you got? He said, he got a dually truck. And I said, we'll get you a find another re-end, make sure the gear ratio is the same, and I'll install it for him. But, yeah, that stayed on my mind. I meant to tell you about that.
Man, but I know they take some special fluid or whatever. This shit hard to find.
It's not hard to find. It's just some gear oil that goes in the back of the rim. It's not hard. It's real simple. They got so many different kinds on the shelf that one person, one place recommend this, one place recommend that. It really doesn't matter. You just put some good gear oil in the back and make sure it's full.
Yeah, I think I put 80-90 or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's good. Cause they gonna change the label on it. They might say 85-95 or 80-90, same thing. 85-95, it's the same stuff. They playing games with us on the price. They're just trying to sell their product. Another company trying to sell their product. So just stay away from that expensive stuff and the cheap stuff. Always stay in the mid range of the prices. And stay away from the synthetic. Synthetic is overrated. They tell you, oh, synthetic is the best, but just some basic gear oil is all you need. Okay, so we got Tony Byrne as a grudge racer of the year here on the Shake and Break Grudge Talk Show, and we got our reasons why. A very good candidate. We also named some more guys too, but we all kind of like what Tony Byrne did. He will travel. Ain't that one of our words we used to use a long time ago, Corey? He will travel.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
So he ain't afraid to come to the Midwest.
And you just took the words right out of my mouth. He traveled and he came to the North. That's a win-win situation right there.
Yep, because you know we was getting a lot of people complaining about coming to the North, Tony Bond don't have no problem with it. He don't have a problem with going.
And you know something?
All it is
what I like about him? You know something what I like about him? He didn't reach two guys, you know, Three Loves and Chicken Man because, you know, something happened to their car and he ain't heard a whole lot more. They gave him his little punk off money. And it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to find somebody else. He couldn't find anybody else. And they're trying to make a big deal out of that. Oh, there wasn't no other cars there to match you and all that kind of. No, that ain't the point. Who's going to match a car? It's a car. You know, if you're up at a race,
right?
You know what I mean? You just ain't going to mess with this guy. You know, that's just it. You know? But if he had stuck around another day, somebody would have jumped out there. People take their time sometimes, just like he do. You know?
And,
you, twist that
and you're right. You're right. I know. But you know what I noticed? Corey, we've been listening to these shows since, what, 2012? But you notice what I've been noticing about people? Say you got two guys getting ready to race, but one car is definitely locked than another. What is wrong with saying, hey, man, I need something?
Yeah.
Now, I know. Let's just use Corey for an example. Corey, I'm going to say your car is a lot faster than mine. I'm going to say, Corey, I need something. What would you say?
Man, I'm going to give you something. You know, you're going to be talking that stupid, crazy stuff.
Okay, so what you going to give me?
Man, look, I'll give you the break.
Okay. And if I accept it, we can just go ahead and race. Lock the money in and go ahead and race. How simple is that? Oh, but you see what happened is you got them scared people kicks in, that fear kicks in on some guys, and they'll be like, oh, man, I need everything in grudge racing. Come on, man. See, they just mess
with
you when they start doing stuff like that. Yeah, they'll want
or
everything in grudge racing, or they'll say, oh, let's race for $5,000. And no good and well, he got 40 cents in his pocket.
Or try to change your whole setup.
Right.
You got to put this on. And I mean, I got to change my gears, and I got to change shocks. I got to, you know, change my motor up to call. The motor can't pull this. I got to change transmission. They'll try to hit you in those spots.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be that no-go. They ain't trying to go anywhere.
Well,
what'd you say,
that's
no-go?
Why you see that. That's why you go ahead and back up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know,
man, I feel like
I know.
Be the person, man.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
What'd you say, Corey?
I feel like you can whoop that
tell.
Man. Go on and whoop that man.
Man, it's just all you're doing is taking a chance. That's all you're doing, just take a chance.
Well, to me, would be better to me if somebody wanted to bet $3,000, they say, well, look, let's just go ahead and bet $1,000 or $500 just so we can get a race on. Instead of dragging my
mm-hmm.
car, my truck all the way over here and try to buy another man out or, you know, be scared of somebody, well, let's drop the money a little bit. So if I do lose, it ain't going to hurt me. You know, it ain't going to take nothing off my time,
right.
You know, or right. Stop my bills from being paid. So
mm-hmm.
try that. Do that.
You,
cut the money down.
You're still bringing action. Whether it went from $3,000 to $500, you still brought action.
Yeah.
If you gave somebody, you gave us a race so we can watch, and that's
there
cool.
You go.
If you win, you move to the next one. If you lose,
nobody hurt.
And he up the money and try it again. Yeah,
nobody hurt. Yeah, just figure out what it would cost a man to get to the racetrack and bet that amount. So at least he can get his money back for paying his way in, getting to the racetrack, getting in a race. You know. You can have came there for fun,
mm-hmm.
like it's supposed to be anyway. But you ain't going to get rich off of none of that stuff. That's for sure. You ain't even going to be able to fix your car. Not even put a towel on there.
Okay. Unknown had a topic for the night, for the show. It was, who do you think is the grudge racer of the year and why? And he's got another topic after we clear this one, but who do you think is grudge racer of the year and why do you pick that person? That is the topic for tonight. Hit the one button, tell me who you think your grudge racer of the year is. Some people have been keeping up with it. Some people haven't. But whatever's on the top of your head, there's no right or wrong answer. If you pick Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ is your world racer of the year. There's no right or wrong answer.
He's everybody's.
Right. So we've already discussed Tony Bynes. Yeah, you're right. I like what Tony Bynes is doing. And, he's ever since I've met him, ever since we've known him, Corey, he's been always in the paint. In the paint, traveling, racing, and he's a good competitor. Damn good competitor.
Yep.
And you have to watch out for him because Tony Bynes will have something up his sleeve and he'll end up beating you.
That's it.
Uh-huh. Sure will. He'll end up beating you.
Yeah, you got that right. Right. You know, I look at the big picture in life. That's why a lot of people can't even go out their back door. If a war starts right now, they can't even go out their back door and fight the war. They got to fight their neighbor off before they can even get out their own back door. Because the way people live, you know, and what I mean by, I can't help from bringing it up. What I mean by the way people live, and the way they think. And why would you come on here and talk all that nasty stuff about somebody's mother, their father, or what you're going to do to somebody and all this and that? You know, that stuff for the birds, man. Don't nobody want to hear all that old crazy stuff. I mean, you know, we listen. But, I mean, I think it's a wrong thing to do. You provoking a fight or you provoking a situation that's going to unfold. That's why so many buddies, hating buddies, you know, and because all this disrespect stuff. You know, I mean, we got to stop all this disrespect, you know, and become a man again. You know, to me, you ain't no man when you sit around, you got to disrespect somebody like that, talk all that old crazy stuff like that. You know, all that old gay talk and all that kind of crazy. If you something, you are. If you gay, you gay. It don't matter. But why you got to sit there and dub another man with that?
Right.
You know, that's another man.
I agree with you.
That's another man. Don't you understand that's another man? That's somebody's father, you know? That man got a mother, got kids, you know. And, you know, and if you're doing it like that, I mean, they're going to hear you dogging their parents. And just as soon as their son or daughter comes somewhere and you go and try that same stuff out there in their life, you're going to get your head blown off. Because he ain't going to let his kid, you know, hear you dog him like that. Or maybe one of his brothers might be around, you know, might not accept that. So why would you provoke something from the beginning? Do you use common sense and stay away from that?
I hear you.
I can't help from bringing it up. It's sickening. That's a sickening, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. You ain't gotta get that personal with somebody talking about their mama, daddy, yeah. Kids. The kids ain't got nothing to do with it. The mama ain't got nothing to do with it.
That's sickening. I mean, I got to bring it up, you know what I mean? Because we're taking each other down little by little. And I be hearing more buddies. You were buddies last week, and now all of a sudden you done gotten one of these crazy, you know, confusing arguments because you don't disrespect somebody, which y'all were doing all the time. And now a person done got to that point they can't take it no more. So now they want to kill you or want to meet you at the racetrack and fight you or shoot you or whatever. And believe me, if it stays like that, it's going to happen more and more. It ain't going to be no racing. They're going to be people hunting people just like they do rabbits and squirrels and deers and antelope. You're going to be looking like an animal that's, you know, people want to hunt. That's how it's going to be after a while, people hunting people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I got to bring to the table. Because I already know, just like they say, if you see something other or you experience something other and you know it's going to come to pass, why don't you let it out? Maybe you can help somebody. You might can't help everybody, but you can help somebody. The same thing I feel for me. If I got a situation, somebody can say something on one of these shows or whatever, it's going to help me. And that's how you got to look at it. It's going to help me. We all going to die anyway. Why would you live that death?
that death life. You're going to die one day anyway, so why would you live that way? Or just to try to prove something to some people on the phone or whatever, that you can be the nastiest, most person on earth. Why would you do that? It's just crazy to set yourself up. I had to get that in, Shake. I'm going to back up and leave it alone.
Hey, I ain't mad at you, bro. You're telling the truth, ain't it, Corey? You're telling it like it is.
Crazy.
Yep, telling it like it is.
If you would listen, Shake, at people, how many arguments you have seen and how many people be ready to kill people over stupid stuff like that? How many times you done seen that buddies one day? Huh?
A whole lot of them. A whole lot of them.
Yeah. It ain't no use for that.
Yep, it ain't. It ain't. It shouldn't even get to that. It ain't that kind of a party.
No. You know, suppose your family were with you and you indulge in that kind of stuff like that, people talking all that kind of stuff to you like that, and then all of a sudden your family come up for a weekend and want to go to the races. You got to tell them, no, well, I can't let y'all go. Because you already, you know, feel that something like this going to happen. There's going to be a knucklehead out there. Got to come up and say, hey, Shake, I'm going to run my whole so-and-so up your so-and-so. And how do you think your family would be over there? They wouldn't like that.
Mm-hmm. That's disrespectful.
Yeah, but you got people out here do that every day.
Yeah.
Every day. That's why I be quiet a lot. I don't say nothing. I listen, and I don't say anything. That's the best thing. Don't get yourself involved in it. Don't say nothing. Then sometimes people try to provoke you. For everybody on this show, and I always tell myself, you know, I catch myself, and I say, man, you got two ears, so that didn't mean that for you. Because that ain't you. Ain't no way that can be you. So I let it go right out one ear and right out the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, I be wanting to blow up too, you know, when they say for everybody on the phone or on this show, but I catch myself. Hold it.
Yeah, you're right. But I hate to see them when they go to getting acting all ignorant. And they just look, they take all the fun out the grudge racing when they go to acting ignorant like that. Take the phone out. We want to see some racing, some cars going down the track. But when they go to arguing and fussing and fighting, then it's going to turn into something else.
Yeah. Anyway, that's 1 second that you would never get back, and it's going to cost you the rest of your life. That's
there ain't no
second
point
that you would never get back.
Man, that's true.
Yep. The rest of your life is gone. You know, I'll tell you a story. It's this guy that lives not too far from where I live at. Now, he had already been married to a girlfriend, and he had just built a house. And he went out there and got that water in him, that ignorant oil in him, and he was going with this other girl on the side. So the guy came and asked him a couple of questions about dealing with his girlfriend. Now, keep in mind that he was already married to another woman. You got a young baby getting ready to come, going to build a nice house. And him and this guy getting a struggle over him going, being around with somebody's wife and getting smart instead of just getting his truck or car and say, look, man, I'm gone. He stood there arguing with the guy and then wound up pulling out a knife, cut the guy up that had to be flew out. Now he done lost his wife, done lost his, you know, new baby, ain't going to never see her. And you know, I mean, his life is
gone. All because of them. All because of some bull crap.
Yeah, you won't stand there and argue with somebody else. You're dead wrong. You got a wife. You got a new baby coming. You just built a house. And somebody confronts you about being with some other woman that's not yours anyway. You stand there getting a toe-to-toe argument with them, then pull your knife out because you can't fight man up. And nobody does these days. And cut this other guy up. And now you're gone for the rest of your life. You done lost everything. Stupid. When he should have just gotten his car, you're dead wrong. Should have just gotten right in his car and went on.
Mm-hmm.
But he got to prove something. Yeah, I'm running him. What you going to do about it? Oh, that old crazy stuff.
Yeah. They bring it to a grudge race or to an
to a track, and then that causes problems. Hey, Corey. Hey, Corey.
Yo.
Hello. You remember when we went to 42 the first time?
You talking about Jay Bonds, right? When he first turned
42. No,
42. Oh, yeah. 42. Oh, yeah, 42. Yeah.
We went there last year. It was okay. We had a nice time. Early this year, before we went there again, you remember somebody got killed at the track and a couple
yeah,
other people
yeah.
got injured?
Yeah,
one of my boys
that.
That stay in Ohio, he told me that, no, the owner of the track told me that it was some Mexican guys with them rice burner cars
mm-hmm.
that got into an argument, a fuss and a fight about whatever, I don't know. And somebody got hurt, and another person got killed.
Hmm.
Didn't have anything to do with grudge races, but you see how they stuff caused us to look bad still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Now, they'll label us as grudge races. Oh, somebody got killed at a grudge track, at a grudge race, and several other people injured.
Right,
it was a totally different event, and I don't think it even had anything to do with the race or the cars. That's how it goes.
That's the same thing like we were talking about last week with gambling. Now, if I'm there, and I know you, and I know Corey, and somebody, y'all gonna race somebody else, and I'm betting on y'all because I know y'all, and we hang out like that. Now, I got 30 people coming to me trying to bet me, you know what I mean, that you're going to lose, and I'm betting that you're going to win. So what I tell them to do is I'm just going to pay one person. Y'all give that one person all the money and let that one person come to me. And we can bet. So when the race is over, what I win or lose, if I lose, I'm going to give the money back to one person. I'm not going to give it to 20 people because you're going to get into a whole bunch of conflict with it. A little $2 man claim he bet 10. And no, he ain't put the $2 in the pot. So that's why
right.
you know, whoever betting on y'all's side, I'm going to let y'all go ahead and put all your money in their pot. That's going to be his business. It ain't going to be mine. I'm going to pay off my debt right then to one person and get on going. I ain't going to be fighting with all y'all about, you know, this and that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's smart. That's a smart way of doing
so
it. It keeps down a lot of bull crap.
Yeah. For you, you're
if you say, say you in the bleachers, Corey, you know how we like to do it. We be in the bleachers, and it's five guys right there want to bet against you, Corey. And instead of you getting money from all them individual five guys, you can tell them all to put it in the pot and give it to the man with the baseball cap. And then if you lose, you just pay the baseball cap man. If you win, the baseball cap man gives you your money.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you dealing with them and the people anyway, if they lose, somebody gonna disappear in the crowd and you ain't gonna get your money anyway. So that's what you got to do to make sure it's all up and it's all in one person's hand. Because they're going to break camp. You know, if it's them and the people, somebody's going to duck and get out of there.
That's a good way of doing it, Brother Unknown.
Mm-hmm. And you know somebody's going to get up out of that crowd if you're betting all them different people. Yeah. It'd be almost like a DP man in the bleachers.
We want to go with the second topic.
That's on you. Whatever you want to do.
All right. Okay. Unknown has a second topic, and y'all can push the one button if you got a comment on the second question. The second topic is, if you a grudge, I mean, if you you had a race car, and there is somebody local in your neighborhood in your area that builds race cars, why do you go to another location, go somewhere else, a long distance to get your car raced on, worked on? Why would you do that?
When there's somebody locally you can go to, why do you go far off to get your car worked on by somebody else other than going locally? Did I say it right, Unknown?
Yes, sir.
That's another question. So if you got an answer for that topic, why do people go elsewhere instead of going locally to getting their car worked on? Hit the one button. Tell us your comments, your opinion. And we'll see what your answer is and what you're talking about. Why do people that have race cars, instead of going to somewhere local in your area, that you go far out and get your car worked on? That's a good topic, Unknown.
Yes, sir.
Maybe we'll have somebody to hit the one button. Before we go to that topic, did I tell you, Unknown? We got in my hometown in Arkansas, we got the okay and approval for a racetrack.
That's a great thing.
So I'm gonna have to take another trip down south before the year out. I don't know exactly when. It might be within the month, within 30 days. There is.
So they open? So they open already?
Huh? They just got the approval that we're gonna have a racetrack. They even got the area where they're gonna put it at too. And it's real close to the casino. We just got a casino several years ago, but it's gonna be across from the casino.
So y'all building up down there.
So it's getting in the making. It's getting in the making. So when I go home, oh boy, you know, one of my cars is already down there. The other one is here, but I'm not going to pull it out just yet until I get some things straight, because I hate when my car to go down and then I got to spend a year or 2 years to get that joker back up. I want to get some things taken care of to where once that joker go down, I can go immediately buy the parts and start tearing it down and fix it myself and get it back out there.
That's good patience.
That
I mean,
downtime.
That's good patience.
Yeah, that downtime, I've seen a lot of guys. Matter of fact, we know some guys right here in the Midwest. When their car went down, man, they've been down for 8 years.
Yeah, they can't get back.
And they have had the car up and going, but something else messed up, and it's back down again. And see, I don't want that. So I got a game plan to fix that. I definitely got a game plan.
Yeah, the big picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you always say, the big picture.
You got to look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Yes, sir.
Where's Tail and them and Rich and them and where them guys at tonight?
So what now?
Where's Tao and Rich and them guys? Where they at tonight?
I don't know. I don't see them on the board, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody deserve a day off.
The way I felt
yesterday, I would have took off too because I was most of my tail off. And I got a couple of jobs, heavy jobs out the way. And, man,
yeah, sure.
I'm talking about somebody tired.
First things first.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's how I got to have them. Yep.
Yeah, I seen, hold on.
Hold on 1 second, unknown. Don't go nowhere.
Do you think?
Oh, here he come. Here he come back. Corey fell off. Corey, your mic back open.
Yep. Yes, sir.
You missed what I just said, Corey. But
I heard what you said.
Oh,
yeah, but my phone hung up.
Okay. Yeah, so I know when they get that Joker built, I'm going to see old Witt over there because that's right next door to him. I want to know how they going to construct the track. Is it going to be one of them little mediocre tracks or is it going to be a big track? I need to go down there and do some more question asking, see how things
mm-hmm.
turn out. I'm pretty sure they're going to probably start out small and then build up to it. I got to find out who's all on the committee. And because I know a few guys on the committee because there's one of my boys, he's got a transmission rebuild place. He's on the committee. Cato is on the committee. And the Nelson, one of the Nelson brothers is in the committee. I know them two
mm-hmm.
personally. It's another one they said I know too, but I can't picture his face. I think we went to school together.
That's good you know somebody, you know, where you can get some information.
Nevertheless, yeah, because the track ain't but 15 minutes from my house.
Mm-hmm.
15
right home.
Freaking minutes from my house, yeah.
Yeah, that's right home.
And when you got a track that close, bro, you can go do some testing and towing, do some racing, mm-hmm. instead of doing all that traveling long distance. An hour and a half, 2 hours to a track.
Yeah, you're right home.
Not bad. Yep, not bad. Mm-hmm. I like that. We've been hoping and praying for one for some years. But we finally getting the okay.
Forget that.
Yes, sir. So, a matter of fact, guess how close it is from Holly Springs, Corey?
Sorry, I don't know. I ain't even going to try to guess. Probably like about 30 minutes away.
No. It's a lot more than that. 2.5 hours.
Mm.
Yep, 2.5 hours. That's like going from here to 131. Yes, sir.
Hey, you the brown and rain over here.
You see how he do me? I know he going to blame it on me. When I gave him warning. I gave him warning.
I'm
to
listening.
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back
yeah.
no more. I gave you the warning, Corey.
Shit, coming down like cats and dogs.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it stopped over on this side of town, and the ground is just wet. But watch what happened, Corey. It ain't gonna stay long. It's gonna just come down, and last for a few, and then it's gonna stop. As soon as that one little cloud get off from over you, it'll stop.
Mm.
Dag nabbit. That's that Michigan weather for you. Where's old Brent?
Yeah.
I ain't talked to Brent. Oh, y'all want to know something? As soon as Brent come on the show, we're gonna have to wish him a happy birthday because his birthday was the other day.
He thought I didn't see him on Facebook. Huh?
21, huh?
Brent might be 12 years old. He might not be 21. I don't know how old he is.
Oh, man. Yeah, he doesn't know a lot.
When he come on here, we're gonna give him a butt whooping and then give him a present.
Got you.
Yeah, old Brent's birthday was this week. That Facebook, man, it throws your business out there real quick.
Oh, yeah.
They tell everybody when your birthday and what you post and what's going on, who's arguing with you and who you done pissed off.
Yeah, going to soap opera.
Right.
Turn into a soap opera.
Just like a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know something, you get on the books. You'll find it.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Facebook. Social media.
Did you get Corey the second
I was gonna hold up for a second. Hey Corey, you met my auntie years ago, remember? And she passed away.
I think that did.
When we went to Indianapolis. Well, I got another auntie down south, Aunt Rhea. Saturday was the second. She turned 99 years old.
Yes, sir. Happy birthday to her.
Yeah,
99.
Hey, man, she turned 99 years old Saturday. And when I went down there and talked with her, this is the second time I've ever met her. When I went down there and talked with her, man, she gets around better than we do. She got her own garden in the back. She got her own house. They got their own land. Her son, it's a part of the land right behind her house, her son stay. And then his daughter stayed next to him. And I asked my auntie, I said, Auntie, because she got all her senses. She talking, walking, moving around. She gets up every morning, go for walks. And I look at her, man, she's in a lot better shape than a lot of people I know. A lot of people. And she just turned 99 years old. Yesterday.
Yeah, I tell you, a lot of us been talking about Storm. I tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hadn't paid attention.
Aunt Rhea.
That's a blessing.
Yes, it is a blessing.
Oh, I posted it on Facebook. Corey, you didn't see it?
Man, I'll check it out. I'll be on it.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm gonna comment on it later on.
Yeah. Yep, ain't real. 99 years old. My grandfather, my daddy's daddy, he lived to be 107. So it's a lot of longevity in this Baker family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I thank God for anytime somebody live that long. That's a blessing.
Yeah, they done seen a lot of things. They done seen a lot of different generations, different things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, like they say, even on a job, no matter how valuable you are, there's somebody always waiting in line to take your place. And I always understand that you can count money, but you can't count time because it never stops. They keep on moving.
Sure do.
And that is true.
All the money. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You learn life to the fullest.
That's it.
That's it. You look at the big picture, be patient, and, man, you don't know where you end up at. And being in a hurry, you ain't getting nowhere. Even I heard Shake say from the beginning of the show, he had a lot to do, but then I also heard him catch himself and say he's going to do what he can do. And that's the best way to handle that. Put your little program together and get whatever you can get, and if you got a little extra, you take care of it. But first and foremost, you got to take care of yourself, because if you don't, all this stuff going to be right here, and you're going to be gone. I don't seen it happen too many times. You know? Too many times.
Mm-hmm.
You be up out of here, and everything be still here.
Yes, sir.
Them older folks that made true statements, you can't take it with you. But then you got to look at the big picture and provide for the next day. Because you got to understand, you know, that you can't punish yourself too much, only but so much. Because it'll break you down. I don't care who you are. I seen a time I could walk up to a car and reach in there and grab the motor about that. But now, only thing I want to grab is a spoon or a fork, get me something to eat. And glad to do just that. Because, you know, you can just go right out of here very slowly. And it's real aggravating. Once you're not who you were from the beginning. You got to depend on people, you know, to do this and do that. You know, and, you know, that's not a good life.
Mm-hmm. You got to make sure you're eating right. Make sure you take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't understand the way people treat each other, you know, and say anything to each other and this and that. And then this life comes around one time. That's it. Too late after you're gone, too late to say, oh, man, I wish I'd never said that. Don't do it. It ain't worth it.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to stay here forever. Nobody.
No,
sir.
Right
about that.
We all got a time clock.
That's it. And nobody going to get all or nothing. You ain't going to get all or nothing. You ain't going to get all the fast race cars. You ain't getting all the clothes. You ain't getting all the women. You're not going to get all that. You're not going to get the biggest, baddest tow truck. What it is, you just handle what you can handle. Do a good job of that. And everything will be all right. Put your mind there and say, you know, I'm going to do a good job of this. People used to laugh at me when I was a scrap guy. I'd go buy a brand new pickup truck, you know, the little Dodge, little V6 or something like that, and they wonder why I had all that junk on there. I wish I could show y'all some pictures. So why you got all that junk on that little truck, little brand new truck? You know why? I'm running away from the DOT man, too. I'm running away from those body snatchers. Only thing they want to do is catch you with something other so they can take everything you got and get you on paper. Once they get you on paper, then they can, you know, set up their drone and whatever they got to set up. And you really look at it, you're going to pay, you're going to get them. And even just like the job, why would I go 100 miles away from home when there's the same job right close to me? I'll take that job and I'm saving everything, saving my car, saving gas, give me a little bit more rest. But when I got to drive hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles away, you know, you ain't even comforting anything. Yeah, you might be making all the $50 and $60 an hour, but I work right here for 20-something. At least all that 20-something going in my pocket. But
right.
That $50 and $60, they can take it anyway.
Yeah, it seems like they're gonna try some kind of way to tear you down. The more you struggle to get up top, the more they're gonna try to pull you down. So you just gotta keep on till you catch a break, and you move up a ladder. Catch another break, you move up a ladder. Just gotta keep fighting at it.
Just like racing. That's why I like Tony Bond. They're trying to cut his head off. But he hang right in there and argue with four or five different ones. Not really, you know, arguing, but he'll change the subject on them. He'll go on somewhere else. But when he come back, he ready. His gun is loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's going to get that light. That's what I like about him.
Yeah.
If you notice that, that's what happened. I mean, it tears
yeah,
him up.
When he come back, he's a different man, and you better watch out because he got something.
There you go.
He got something for you.
Yeah, you're going to get him, he's going to get you. But he will be good. He is coming back, I'll tell you that. No matter what you do. Yep. And, man, this race game is something else, man. You sit back and listen to them, man. They got a lot of people, man. Somebody hit me with a punch over here. It's just like they go and they practice like they're doing for a band or something. You know, and somebody hit you right here, and then they'll jump off, and somebody else come back and hit you with another punch on this side, and then the same person might come back and hit you with some punches. Then they might team up all three of them, one after another. I mean, I'd be wondering sometimes, would y'all practice this stuff?
Yeah.
It'd be something.
They got something up their sleeve.
Yeah, and you can see it. If you're sitting back paying attention, you can see it. But he handles himself very well. I like that about him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, he'd be all over him. He'd be by himself out there, you know. And that's a man to me.
That's Tony Bond.
He's a real man. He can handle his business now. I never seen him, but that's what I would shake his hand to for being that man, you know, the time I seen him. You know, listen at him talk or whatever. I would definitely shake his hand on that. He's real.
I agree with you. Tony Bond is a go-getter.
Yeah.
He really is. He's a go-getter.
That's why, you know, like they made Chuck Brown the godfather of rap. They should make Tony Bynes the godfather of racing. Because he is that man.
Yeah. He's been doing the same thing ever since I met him. He gets his car together. He go racing. He trying to lock this person in. He trying to lock that person in at all times. When he wreck, tear up his car, it won't be long. He'll be back with another one, or he'll fix his car, and he's back at it again. Tony Bynes was down. He went to college for a while, and when he got out, he come back and back grinding again. Same old Tony Bynes.
And you know who else? Who else right in his footsteps? A lot of people might not like what I'm about to say, but Chicken Man the same way. He'll go out there and tear up a car and go in there and fry his chicken and sell his food. Chicken Man coming back.
Yeah,
go right back
in
the street, right back in the same trap.
I was at 41. Chicken Man had his car out there, and I think the drive shaft or the rear end broke. I think it was drive shaft. And, he take it home, get it fixed, and before you know it, he back out. He don't stay down a long time either. And see, that's what I was saying earlier about getting my program together, because when something go wrong with my car, you want to be able to get what you need, have the money, have the access to get to it, and fix it and put it back together and be right back out there.
Oh, yeah. I don't take nothing from nobody. Just like Willie Dove, if he feel he can't beat you, he going to ask you for something. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that in him. Skin the same way. Skin will ask you for something, too, if he feel he can't get you. But he's another one will go at you. I mean, it's a couple guys out there, man. I'll be paying attention to them. And they will come for you. They mean business. When
yeah.
They come for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't learned everybody yet, but I'm just saying where I have seen the ones I'm talking about have left a trail. When you leave a trail, mm-hmm. just like a bird, you know, trying to find his way back to, you know, his babies, he'll drop crumbs all over the place to get himself back to wherever the nest he was at. And that's just what these guys do, you know. And anybody out here can attest to this. Now, no matter how bad you is, if you stick around, somebody coming for you. That's why it's ups and downs. And the thing is, see, Tony knew that these guys, they're setting up for him. They're plotting on him. So he pick his time and go in there, you know. And he get beat sometimes, a lot of the time. Sometimes he get punk out. Sometimes he pay him, you know. And you can't blame the man for his game. Can't blame him for that. But then he don't let up. He'll go and find somebody else. He ain't going to sit there and going to try to run away from the racetrack. He's going to try to run into somebody else. The only way, he ain't going to get nobody else. Ain't nobody else going to race. But if they're going to race, hey, he's going to try them. That's why he's my godfather of racing.
That's Tony
Fine. We had a guy over here that I grew up with, you know, pretty much. You might know him, Calvin Jr. He was a part of the Wolfpack. That was his club that he put together, the Wolfpack. And this guy was basically
the same way.
Yeah, he was basically the same way. He would go out there and he would run anybody from any county. He'll get beat, but guess what? He'll go back and build himself back up and come back, and he would get him most times. When he come back, he get him. But what happened, he got out of racing too. He was another guard for all of racing. Because he didn't care who you were or what you had. Now, guys like them guys like that, them some dangerous people.
Uh-huh.
That's why I like old Tony Martin. Dangerous. Yeah. Well, I hope you work out and get yourself together, your car and stuff shake, and whatever you're putting together, and, you know, get out there and have you some fun, man. And like I said, the most important thing is when you get out there, don't worry about what other people say. If you don't do no more, bet $200. That's what you want to spend. That's what you want. If you lose that, you can get up the next morning and keep on moving.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry about all them high dollars, people trying to buy you out and all that crazy stuff. Don't worry about all that crazy stuff. That's crazy.
You want to work with what you got. Don't stress yourself.
And you know you can get up and live tomorrow. You know? You know, I walked around for a lot of years, $5,000, $6,000 in my pocket every day, faithfully. I went through a divorce, and it cost me $62 for the divorce and the lawyer, another $23 or whatever, and I paid everybody off. And I went down for a couple of minutes, but, you know, I'm living good and comfortable now again. But I walk around every day with $50, $60, $100 bills in my pocket every day, every day. He's department that went down before, $100 bill, man. Yep, but
$100 bill, man.
Yeah, but even that, even to say that, no matter what you got, that's what I'm saying, to say this, no matter what you got or what you had, we all will go down one day. But see, when you fall down, you got to look at the big picture why you fell down. You know, sometimes there is not even a reason. But you got to continue to look at that big picture and work yourself back into comfortable shape. See, that's where I'm at now, comfortable shape. I can get up any day, go get a car if I want to, go get a truck. And I like it like that. Get up any day, go get me a townhouse or, you know, whatever. I love it like that. I don't let people, you know, pull me down or tell me what I should have and what I shouldn't have. I don't worry about that. This is my body.
Right.
This is my mind. I know what I can do to get to where I need to be at. You know, if my eyes was in a little more better shape, I would have one of the baddest small blocks out here by now. Because I know what I want.
I heard that.
The thing is, you got to look at the big picture of yourself and set back. I ain't got nothing to prove to nobody. I got to prove something to me first. You know, instead of going to there looking stupid, go get all this right here for what? And you're going to be looking stupid. No, that's not going to happen. You said that a few minutes ago, too. You want to be able to get back up again if something happened. And that's a good thing.
Right. Right.
That's real good.
Yeah, because
that being
down for 6 and 8 years just don't cut it with me. If I'm going to get off into this racing, I got to make things available for me where I can get out there, break down, put it back together, fix it, and get back up there and race some more.
That's it. I've been doing that right here where I live at. If something breaks, no matter how big or how small, I can get right back up the next day and prepare, get it prepared. If I can't do it, I know other people that can do it, and I do have the money to pay to get it done. So I don't go out here and play no big shot.
you know, I surround myself with things I need. You know what I mean? Where I don't have to work that hard, you know. So
right.
That's the way you deal with life. Surround yourself. Even though if you never get another one of your calls out here, at least in your mind, you know that you're not going to fall down and stay down. You don't work with other people. Let them talk all they want to talk. Oh, you got, you're a talk show host and you ain't got no car on the road or no race. Man, the heck with that. What do you have? Don't worry about that. You're going to hear all kind of criticism. But don't worry about
it.
They're going to do that anyway, no matter what you got.
Sure is.
Yep. Use your two ears, your two eyes, and your nose, and that'll get you around through life. You can smell, you can see, and you can hear. That's what it's all about.
You're absolutely right. No.
Yeah, take care of Shake.
Absolutely right. Yep, take care
of
home plate.
That's what we really need, a room to sit back and, you know, really put ourselves on good terms with ourselves and with life out here. A whole lot of us, you know what I mean? We do a lot of things out here, and it comes back to us. That's because we really ain't paying attention to what's going on, looking at the big picture. You know, when your job can only support so many things, you know, you got a family, you got a home, and, you know, you're going out there trying to be a big shot, excuse me, for somebody else. You can't be that no more. That's not happening no more. Not happening.
True that. Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of thinking about calling my boy up, the one that the guy that was building his car.
Who that?
And the guy I was telling you about a little while ago, where he had his car was in the shop. And the guy died that was building it, working on it for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was thinking about giving him a call tomorrow morning, see how he's doing, and see what he's going to, you know, see what route he's going to go. Is he going to keep the car? Is he going to sell it? Is he going to find somebody else to work on it? Because if he's in that position to where he's got his car 90% completed, I would go ahead on and just continue it, get somebody to finish it up. He came too far to give up now. The car is 90%, 95% done. He came too far to just give up. He waited all those years. All he got to do now is just look for somebody that can finish up the car. And then he can finally go some racing.
Sure.
I'll do some racing.
But the trick to that, you know, we was talking, but you never come up with the other topic because we ain't got enough people on the show to elaborate on that, the second topic. But, I mean, I can go into details on that a little bit. And the reason why I asked that question, why would people leave home and go somewhere else and get somebody to work on their stuff and still they work getting somebody close to home working on their stuff that knows the same stuff. See, the thing is, when you find somebody home that can do the same thing and you are paying attention to what they're doing, you can always run there. But once you stick your stuff and put your stuff a long ways away, you got a bunch of, you know, tails tracking. I'm going to get it next week. I'm going to get it after the week after next. Oh, well, when you go there, this popped up or this showed up. You know, if you deal with people away from home a lot of times, I'm not saying everybody, but the majority, you're going to be hearing a whole bunch of sad stories most time when your car is away from home. And then if you went on and paid the person half of the money or most of the money, then they're not going to be worrying about that a little bit. They're going to catch all the money that's coming through the door. So by you sitting there, you know, thinking that they're going to hurry up and get you out of the way, they started catching money coming through the door. You already done put your money in their hand. They'll get to you. But then you got too far to travel. Every time you turn around, you got to go over there. Because on the phone, they're telling you anything.
Oh,
just to get you off the phone.
That's what my man was going through. With every time he did call him, it's another sad story. I ain't got to it. I did this. I need that. I got to finish this. And I think he got just about every story out there. Every little bit at a time. He was slow, I don't know what why he was taking forever to do it, but he wanted to put his name out there and get his car together. Get my boy's car together. So when my boy go racing and they going to ask him, who did your car, such and such? Who did your car, such and such? And then they he's going to develop a name for himself, which I understand what the man was doing, but his health just didn't cooperate with him.
Mm-hmm.
Sure didn't cooperate with him. So at least my man did get his car back.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, he didn't lose. He didn't lose completely, I should say.
Yeah, well, that's why the big picture is something to look at before you go and do anything. You know, what's going to happen if it's way over here? What's going to happen if it's right here in this spot here? What are these people doing here? You know, what have they been doing? What are they doing? You know, you got to pay attention to all that.
You
can't pay attention to other people because everybody don't treat everybody the same when it comes to that situation, for the most part. Yeah.
Right.
A lot. And what you need to do is set yourself down, get online or go through the books or these shows or something other that you should be paying attention to, because a lot of this stuff goes right across these shows from time to time. And you can learn a lot by just listening to what happens on these shows. So
sure
you can't go in there not
sure
knowing anything. You got to know something going in there.
Sure do. It helps. It really helps.
Oh, yeah. No one's done.
You remember Tim House came on the show, and we was telling him about that checklist. You got to get a checklist,
mm-hmm.
Tim House. Got to get a checklist. And
oh,
it
yeah.
helps. Somebody going to
yeah.
say something on there that you don't know. If you're a real man, you can admit that you don't know something and then take that learning. Whatever somebody done told you, take it and run with it. You're not a less of a man by not admitting to it.
Yeah. There's a lot to be paying attention to, I can tell you that. When you get
sure
out of this race,
yet.
Bro.
Not.
Yeah. A lot. You done took a hell of a step. You might not see it, but you done took a big step. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Somebody always talking trash to you or trying to lower you somewhere. Yeah. But what I really see, Shaq, in a lot of races and stuff like that, a lot of people want to see you do something before they try to race you. They want to watch you racing against someone else or hope your time flash up on the board or something where they can get a peep at you. If they can't get a peep at you most times, they're not going to race you until they get that peep. And they'd be just like, you know, hyenas or something. When they know you're going to a racetrack or whatever, I mean, they're going to be there hiding or they're going to have somebody there, you know, paying attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand that. You got to understand that in life. But see, the way I look at that is new technology every day. So you might see something today and tomorrow might not be the same thing. That's just how fast stuff changes, technology.
It does, dog. It does. Because I think we left a lot of horsepower sitting on the table. And
mm-hmm.
we just have to go back to the drawing board and figure out where that power is at.
Mm-hmm.
I know they come up with new technology for this, new technology for that. Hey, I had a old distributor, a Mallory distributor with dual points. I don't know what I did with that joker. I know, but I had that. It might be, I don't know. But that's some old technology where they had dual points inside the distributor. They don't
mm-hmm.
even use that no more nowadays.
Yeah, you don't see it.
Mm-mm. But technology comes out, and they got something here, something there to replace. Now, if Now, that's some things that has been replaced that I think we didn't really need to replace them. But there's some guys still use old stuff. Now, you remember the You remember the six-pack carburetor?
Yeah, I remember.
It was 3 2-barrel carburetors. That was a good combination. Oh, damn, yeah, good combination. Yeah. And it worked. It really did. It worked. It's just that some guys didn't know how to tune all three carburetors.
But yeah, I seen them on a Demon. Last time I seen one of them was on an old Demon.
Yeah.
I tell you, a lot of stuff, like you say, that trash can, when, you know, if you know how to tune it, you know what I mean, you got you something. Because if you hear a lot of old guys say, they don't know how to read, you know, the board
graph,
or whatever.
A computer digital, or a graph.
Yeah, so they do a lot of the old stuff the old ways, and they're still competing. And still on top.
It works. It works.
Still on top. Because, you know? I mean, if something comes out every day, and it's going to push you on top. And if you keep up with it, you know what I mean? The laptop might be a little quicker than what you are because it can go right to the point. But still, you know, you use your knowledge, man. You can't beat that because you can work on your own stuff.
True.
Work on your own stuff. Yep. Would everybody have fell asleep tonight, Shay?
No. No, ain't nobody fell asleep.
Oh, okay. They just listening.
Yeah, they just listen.
So if you talk to Tony Bynes, congratulate him for me, you, and Corey, because we picked him, you know, to be the godfather of racing.
Yep, sir. Old Tony Bynes.
Yeah, we picked him. That's who we picked. And we had our reasons, good reasons to pick him. Coming from the heart.
You know, Pro Stock Joe had me on the committee one year for picking the grudge race of the year and this, that, and other. He had something. The way he was doing it, he was having a representative from the Midwest, a representative from down south, a representative from the East Coast, and each area they would pick who they think, like in the Midwest, we would pick who we think was the grudge race of the year in our area, and then we would send that information to him. And they would come up with a person from each area who was the grudge racer of the year. And then there was an all-time grudge racer of the year, which overrides everybody out of all three, East Coast, Midwest, and the South. Out of all three, they would pick the one true great grudge racer of the year. Now, you could be a grudge race of the year in Midwest, but when it came to the banquet, the all-time grudge racer, they would pick, which was a pretty good thing. Pretty good thing. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Did this still happen to show? Or this still happen to show? Long Island Joe now.
Who? Bro? Yeah. His show come on Tuesday. Yeah, his show come
on
Tuesday.
Do you have the same number?
Yeah.
The number was 319. What was it? 319-527.
I would have
6-0-1-2.
To. I gotta look it up. I would have to
look it up.
Yeah, I have to look it up because I ain't dialed it in so long.
Yeah, me neither. Been over a year alone. I think it was
We was on it. We was on it early in the summer, early in the spring. Remember, we went over to Long Island Joe's show.
Yeah, and, I think we tried to call it, but we didn't. We tried to call it, but we didn't get on.
We got in. I did. It was, I think it was me, Corey, Tao.
Yeah, well, I could have swore you was on there.
I could have swore you was on.
No, I didn't get on with that.
No.
If you find it, I think the last four was 6012.
Let me see if I can find it for you.
Yeah, 319-527-6012. I think it was it. Not for sure.
319-527-6210.
210. That's why I've been missing it. I had it backwards.
Mm-hmm. Now he got another number. He's got, you know, he got two numbers to his show. He got the 713-955-0440.
Yeah, I ain't never had that one.
But the 6210 is the last four of the number that you was missing.
Yeah.
Long time ago, because I used to have to open this show up for him. You know, when Long Island Joe got sick back a while back, I had to open up his show for him. I think I did his show for him two or three times. And, you know, because his listeners still be wanting to have a show, so it worked out okay. Because all you have to do is open up the mics, and they get on there and they start talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a little bit everywhere.
Troll group of guys.
Yeah, they come from a little bit everywhere. It wasn't too bad, you know. I mean, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I used to go on there regularly.
Mm-hmm. Hold on 1 second. We got somebody at the door.
Okay.
Yep. 517-6385. That you, Brent?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing?
What up, Brent? How you doing?
Not too bad. Just got home from shopping. Me and her had to go get some stuff for this week for our lunches, and running a little bit later than I was hoping tonight.
That's all.
Did you get my Captain Crunch and raisins?
Oh yeah, we got all that. We just went for a little bit and got a whole lot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I love my Captain Crunch, man. I mix me some raisins in it, and man, I go to town.
Nice.
I know
that's
nice. Right.
So how you holding up, Brent? I know last
not
week
too
you
bad.
And
not too bad.
You and the First Lady was on the show, and y'all came on and told us about your brother-in-law that passed away. I'm sorry to hear about that. But I got to check on you and make sure everything's okay.
Yep. Not doing too bad. Had a pretty decent week here and appreciate all the thoughts and prayers from everybody. We're back at it again and got a little bit of a head cold here last couple of days, but, we're all right.
Okay.
Getting ready to go down the day down the ninth.
Oh, so
calling out all G bodies.
But before you go to Onondaga, and I know it was mourning your brother-in-law's death, but we gonna do something special for you, because we heard that your birthday was this week.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Your birthday was this week. So we're going to play you a little birthday song. We ain't going to play the whole thing, but just for your birthday, man, and show you how much we care about you.
happy birthday to your brother, Brent.
Thanks, buddy.
How old are you, now, 21?
I'm old.
How old are you now, Brent? How old are you now, Brent?
52. 50.
You said 82.
No, 52.
He said, oh, you said 92. Good God almighty. This boy is old, hey, he's ancient. Man, we got a senior on the phone, unknown, Corey. We got
yeah.
a senior citizen.
Yeah, I see. You wish you
92
home.
Years
yeah,
old. Boy, yeah. he's been living a long longevity.
Yeah.
Definitely wish you many more.
Yeah, congratulations, man. Thank God you live.
Appreciate it.
To see these 52 years. You know, it's a lot of people didn't get a chance to make this length of time on earth. I just went and buried a brother-in-law of mine. And so just be thankful you live this long, man, and not all the stuff you've been here on this earth. You've learned quite a bit. Your head's full of knowledge and experience. So just pass it on to the next person.
Amen to that.
Yep.
Appreciate you guys a lot, Shaden.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, I kind of wonder though, if you 92, how old is First Lady?
Well, she's only 42.
Oh, you robbing the cradle, man. You robbing the cradle. You was 92 years old and you got your young wife. Shame on you. Hey, Corey, the next time you see Brent, you owe him 92 licks, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, Corey?
Well, what's up, Brent? Happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy.
Good lady birthday.
No problem at all, man.
So how's that car coming, Brent?
Good. We'll be ready. We're gonna turn her up all the way for PYOP
next weekend.
Trying to get all these Peabodys out here and come play. Anybody that's got a Peabody that wants to.
I'm gonna call Mike up and see if I can bug him this week to get to come on up to the track and see if he can. Get his groove on.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a bunch of G-bodies up there, and it's the last big hoorah, let's go see what's up. Let's all get them out
mm-hmm.
there, and whoever takes that pot home takes it home, right? May the best
right,
man
right.
win.
Right.
Yeah. No, it'll be a good time. I'd like to see some more G-bodies out there, though. I think we only had like 5 of them the last time we went, so I was really hoping
mm-hmm.
to see Hamilton Mike up there, I know they go to Lapeer,
yeah.
and I know Lapeer's got a race coming up, too, so.
Is it this weekend?
Yeah, both Lapeer's got one going, and then Onondaga's got their last one of the PYOP with Detroit Hood.
Okay.
Yep.
And then Big Drag got a race that Sunday at in Chicago. So it's gonna be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday next week.
Right.
And then I got another boy, Wondell. He's got a race in Benton, Illinois. It's a one-day race. It takes 8 hours for me to get there, though. But I don't know if I'm going to make that next week.
No.
I don't know. And it's the same day as Drag's race. Well, I'm trying to save some money so I can go to. It's 2 other races I need to go to, Brent, and Holly Springs for Trick or Treat, And Baldy's race in Florida, but that ain't until December. Oh,
no. Holly Springs, Mississippi.
Yep, that's Trick or Treat.
Yep.
Whit gives that race every year. Real good race. I see more grudge racing going on there, and he preps his track for radio. But it'd be racing back to back to back to back every year. It's hardly any downtime.
Nice.
If you walk to the bathroom and come back, you'd miss a lot of races.
So what date's that on, Shake?
It's in this month, 15th, 16th, and 17th. Let me double check it. Yeah, 15th, 16th, 17th. That's in
nice.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, and yeah, I'm talking T-shirt weather. Because it always be nice and hot down there during that time.
Yeah, I'd at least want to get out at least one more time this year. And I don't know. You never know. I might get lucky and get out a second time. But
okay.
Yep. You go to Lapeer at all, Corey, this weekend?
Nah. No.
No.
No, but I can still try to. Huh? What did you say?
You going to come down to Onondaga next weekend, buddy, or are you going to be busy?
Oh, no, I'm going to be busy. I got to get ready for winter. I'd be lucky to get to the track this month. My season winding down, so I got to do everything I can.
I hear you, buddy. Yeah, I hear you. I know you've been busy. I heard you last show there.
Hey, yes, sir. I mean, I'd love to come to the track, but you know how things go.
Mm-hmm. I sure do. I sure do, buddy.
But, like I said, it's always next, man.
Oh, yeah. Yep, next year be here before you know it. I feel pretty good about this year. I won a few and lost quite a few, and next year it'll be different.
I hear that. That's a good thing. Yeah, you're getting the kinks out, so you'll be ready next year.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Brent. Unknown came up with a topic. The first topic you may not be able to answer just yet. I'm gonna give you the second topic. He said, if you got a race car. If you have somebody locally that can build your race car, why do you go somewhere else long distance to get somebody to race your car, to build your car? Why would you go somewhere else long distance to build your race car?
Well, well, possibly the person that's close by might already be busy enough and they can't get to yours. That could be one problem.
Ooh, damn good answer. Damn good answer.
Somebody may have, I went down in Ohio and got mine done. I was referred by a friend of mine that this guy did an awesome job, and So I wind up, you know, taking my friend's advice and getting him to do my car. And I was glad I made that choice, you know. And so that's some of the reasons why, I guess, you know.
And that's a good choice. That's a good choice. Like I said, there's no right or wrong answers. It's just your opinion. And you said the local guy might be busy as hell, booked up, backed up. And then the second reason was that somebody recommended you to go to this other particular person, which happened to be far off. And that's a good answer. If somebody recommended you to go somewhere, that means their work had been pleasing enough to share it with you. So it's nothing better than having a connection and somebody give you a lead to a good mechanic, a good body guy, a good chassis guy, or what have you. And you want to try it out. If unknown tell you to go to Sammy Joe place in Iowa, he do good chassis work, and you trust him, well, you probably go out there. And if you get some good work out of it, oh, it was well worth it because unknown gave you the hookup. So it's a good answer, good, damn good answer. What do you think, Unknown?
Yeah, he did very well, very good. But at the end of the day, like I said, my choice will be closer home because I can go there almost every day and see what's going on, and I ain't got to worry about, you know, calling there and the guy, I might be already gave him some of the money, and he's going to get the big fish that's going to come through the door next, and the big fish sometimes never stop coming. So then he sending me a whole bunch of crops and stuff telling me why he can't get a radio, or he had to go somewhere, or he was in the hospital somewhere, and you right there looking, he ain't never went nowhere. He's still in the garage working, but he don't see you. I'm not saying that's the case, but I would get it closer home where I could go check more often.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Did you hear what he said, Brent?
Yeah, yeah.
That makes a good point because if you got to go 4 hours to check on your car, you can't drive 4 hours every 2 weeks to go check on your car, especially if the person go to bullcrapping you. And he said it's going to be ready this week. And then now he said that it's going to be ready next week. And then next week turn into a month. And then a month turn into 90 days and a year. After that, you getting kind of tired and fed up. When you going to finish my car, man? When you going to finish my car? So it can get to the point where it pisses people off and they want to fight. They want to pull a gun. So having somebody give you, recommend somebody to go to is a good thing. Now, if it happened to be a long distance, that's just a chance you have to take. But if you want some good work, you might have to take that chance. If you don't want to take that chance, then you got to stay locally.
Yeah, and this guy here's built some of the cars that he's built won some pretty big. Just well known for building like some really good cars that were record setters and stuff like that, you know. Competitions, you know, and just really good. And nice thing is, and I know exactly what he meant by, you know, it was tough on me sometimes to go check on the car. Nice thing is this guy did everything he said he would do, but I know what unknown means is traveling that far because it took me like 2.5 hours to get there. And so a couple of times I remember being first lady driving down there and be like, man, you know, this is a good little ride and this and that, you know. But I'm real glad to have met him, you know, and get him to work on my car, because now I got a pretty good relationship with the guy. And so, but there are good ones around here too, you know. I mean, I watch Rich and them from PRE. Them guys are just amazing. You know, I know Team Z builds some nice stuff, you know, so there are some nice shops around. You got, you know, I kind of always admired Straight Line Performance. Man, I could go on, you know. I mean, there's some good guys around, definitely, you know, around our area.
Well, you know, Brent, I got caught up like that one time before with a transmission, right? I had a guy build my truck, and it was a nice little ways from where I live at. And the guy, you know, he was a cousin to some more people I know very well. I never met him before. But I went and met him, and he was the nicest guy going. My truck stayed down there for about 6 months, and, oh, I'm working, I'm coming home late, I ain't got a chance to get over there. Then come find out later, he had sent my transmission out of my truck to get someone else build it. And so when I did go back to get my truck, the transmission was the only thing that wasn't working right in it. And so he didn't want to deal with the transmission no more, and he had got his money. So I have to go to the people that he had already had the transmission out the truck over there too. So when I goes over there, I come find out that the guy that builds the transmission, you know, I can call his name, John Toy. Everybody should know him. He built a lot of transmissions out here. And, for big time people. And so what had happened, he did not build my transmission. He had some guys that worked in the shop that did. And so what's happening, it wasn't shifting, you know, all the time. And so I go back over there and have a big old, you know, confusion thing with him. So we get the transmission out the truck, and that day specifically he went in there and worked the BBs in there where, you know, it could click and shift like it's supposed to shift. Instead of having just the people in the shop working on it. And they used to have them a car right there when they, if they work on it, if it didn't work, then they take it back out and do whatever they do. But see, my truck, you know, didn't stay there, you know, just the transmission. So I went through that. That's why I bought up what I bought up. You know, because he, like I said, the guy, the owner, he didn't work on it. Somebody else that worked in the shop worked on it.
Okay.
That's what I got.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes that happens. You take your car to a particular guy, and he don't do the work. He end up sending it out. They call that subcontracting to another guy, and they'll take the transmission out, rebuild it, put it back in, or he'll take the transmission out and send it to him to rebuild, and then he put it back in. Are y'all cool with that? If a guy takes the car or takes the transmission out and send it to another person, are y'all cool with that?
I mean, if somebody tell you what kind of situation they got, that would be cool. But see, I never found out any of this until after I started getting problems. See, he fixed the truck, the motor, he built it. But I never found out that he had sent my transmission to somebody else until after I got out there, and I could never get it right. And I was the type of guy, if it was 1,000 miles, I was going right back to where I came from. And that's what I did. I took it right back to him. And he confessed that somebody else was building the transmission. It wasn't him. But then he didn't want to deal with the guy no more building the transmission, one of those type of situations.
Oh, boy.
Because he went through it a couple times.
Yeah.
So it was a bunch of confusion. Yeah. So that's why I said, if you got somebody close to you, because I did a lot of traveling back then. I spent more gas money and more running back with frustration over and over, thinking that your stuff's supposed to be right, you know, and it wasn't. Yeah.
I hear you.
And these were big name people. These were big name people, you know. Yeah. But, that's why I said, if I got you close, where I can go there and check on you, you know, here and there, where you just don't be telling me just know anything. That's why I say that. I'd rather have the closer man. But if you can go out there and get away with it, that's good. And Brent sounded like he went out there and had a good job done. Got away with it.
Yep. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it don't.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens, they get real busy, especially if you got a name saying that, you know, you're building, you know, transmission for a lot of big-time races, you know, then you're not going to mess with the little small guys too much. You're going to get somebody else doing that. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that's showing up for you is your name and your shop. You ain't touch nothing. That's it.
True that. True mm-hmm. that.
But that's good. He got went there and got whatever he was seeking to get. Got that done. That's good. I'm thankful for that and help. As happy,
yeah.
Be happy for him. Yep.
And when somebody refer me to go to somebody and the person that I'm talking about, if their credibility is good with me, then if they refer me to go to one of their chassis guys or body guy, the paint or whatever, and if he's satisfied with it, then I should be pretty satisfied. If for any reason something didn't come up right, I gotta talk to the guy. I gotta talk to my man first and tell him, say, man, your boy did me wrong. He told me to be ready in 2 months. It's been 8 months, 9 months now, or a year.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. So you got to let your boy know so both of y'all can go over there and talk to him and say, hey, what's taking so long? Now, reasonable excuses would be like he's sick, financial problems and kicked in and got to go, he's going through a lawsuit or whatever. Yeah, I can understand that. Okay, then just let me have my car back and I'll take it to somebody else.
Yep.
It's always ways of working things out before it get too bitter.
Sure, sure. Sure.
Hey, I got a good story, Shake. So the first time around with my car, I had a guy in the next town over. I was told by somebody else that this guy knew how to do all the TIG welding and he knew how to do chrome moly pipe and bend it and all that. This is a... We'll say local guy because he's just 15 minutes, 20 minutes from my house. Okay, I had him do all this work for me. Well, at first it seemed like he was doing everything right, and I was pretty happy. But then I started noticing, like, after he had it for about a month and he was working on it, at first I thought everything was going good, and then every time I'd go over, like, I'd notice something not quite right. And I actually caught him MIG welding on the cage when I walked in one day. He was MIG welding it, and I knew it was supposed to be TIG welded. And so that sent a flag off. And then I noticed, like, the bars in the trunk, they're supposed to come down and then they bend and go down into the rest of the frame. Well, he had those.
Right.
He tried to bend them, and he like kinked them when he tried to bend them. And so then this guy told me, I got pipe benders, I've got this, I've got that. And long story short, I had to go. I've already given this guy like $3,000-$4,000. I finally went over to his shop, and with the pipes not being bent right, he was MIG welding when he was supposed to have been TIG welding. I caught three or four things, and so I go over to his shop, and I say, me and my son go over there, and we're like, we're here to get the car. And he's got his little truck right there in front of my car, and I'm like, he's like, well, you're not taking the car until you pay us the rest of the money. And I said, I'm here to get my car. I ain't giving you no more damn money than this old truck right here in the way. You're going to have to move it because I got my trailer outside and I'm leaving. And when I go, my car's going with me. And needless to say, we got the car loaded up and took it out of there. And then it sit at home for, you know, a month or two, And I did my research again and trying to find somebody, you know, with, I think I tried to save a dollar is what it was. You know, I tried to save some money. I thought dude was going to do me right. And he wasn't even a, he didn't even know how to build a chassis. You know what I mean? He he was a guy that could build the Butler car, you know, just a circle track, I would say like a roll cage in a derby car, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it back from him, took it to this guy that done it, and he actually told me he had to cut everything back out. He would not even, he wouldn't leave not one pipe in the car. He said, we'll cut it all out. We'll use the pipe we can up underneath on the chassis, and it was a total loss. So there's my local story.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Yeah, sometimes them stories like that hits us and it brings tears to our eyes because they can be some dirty people sometimes and trying to cheat and cut corners.
Yep.
But if
so,
they just be
so
on the up and up.
My point is the local guy might not just be always the best route, you know. I mean, so I had better experience when I traveled 2.5 hours. So I guess that's my experience with that, you know.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's right now, though.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
She's good now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think now you can't let the cat hold your tongue when you pick something somewhere else. You got to let them know, look, this is what I want. And if you can't handle it, it's best to let me know right now. And I want you to sign this little piece of paper here, and that's what we stipulate. This is what I want, and that's what we sign and agreeing to. And if it's not like that, then I've got a choice. I'm coming here to get my car up out of here. I don't even want you messing with it no more. So once we get that straight, get the little piece of paper signed, then that's it. But if you can handle the work, just sign it saying you can handle the work, and that's it. So that's what you got to do these days.
Every time you have somebody do some work, do you always get a written estimate or something in writing? Or do you
even
go by
a receipt from McDonald's? A receipt even from McDonald's.
You know, it's a real good deal. What I definitely agree with Unknown on this one here because I didn't when the first guy did it and screwed it up. And then I took it to Ohio, and I didn't get anything on that. But when I brought it back and another guy wired it, he did all that. He had it all in paperwork. And I definitely, in the future of any more cars or my car going somewhere else, I will do it exactly what Unknown's saying. Let's put it all on paper right here like this. And let's put it on a contract. Now, sometimes they can't always give you a price on everything, but at least you could get the work detail and maybe like an hourly rate. And something, you know, I mean, I bid on houses, you know, $300,000-$400,000 houses, and I got hundreds of items that I got to bid and give you a bid on when I build your house. So I think when you build my car, you can do pretty good about getting me an itemized bill on my stuff. Because it's
amen.
A whole lot, you know, so.
Amen. Yeah. Good report. Yes, you would.
Don't leave your receipt.
I suggest and recommend get it in writing each and every time.
Yeah.
We sometimes have a tendency of to the people and say, I know him. I've been knowing him for years. Yeah, but. Sometimes just by you knowing him for years don't mean that he can still be a butt wipe or some issues might come out. Get it in writing. Like, Brent, I don't know if you was on the show when I was mentioning to Unknown about I got a buddy of mine down south, took his car to a man. He's supposed to be building the engine and working on the chassis, and he told him he was going to do everything to the car, and
And when he get it together, he was going to go out and tune it. And when he go to race somebody, he's going to be there with him too. The guy kept his car for, I want to say 4 years. Yeah, I got to say about 4 years. And and my boy that was paying him, he, you know, whenever the guy asked for some money to get this, get this, get that, he would pay with no problem. And he never did have a bill. That's why he, when the man said he needed some money, $2,200, we need $1,500, $1,000, $4,000, whatever he needed. Now the man got 95% done. And then he died. The engine bill, the chassis bill and everything, the man died. Able to go get his car from the man that died's wife. But luckily he didn't have a bill, but it got to a point where it was 95% done. He just had to do some wiring up some stuff, and he passed away. So,
wow.
With that being said, let's say he didn't have a receipt or nothing on paper, and the wife don't even know who you are. You come and say that's my car. She can turn around and do something stupid and sell the car, or get rid of it, and you ain't got no paperwork showing that your husband working on my car, ma'am. I want to come to get my car. So always get something in writing, and yep. And stay on these guys. Even if and like I say, he's been working on it for all these years, and he was getting tired. And I told him, so, man, just go up there and pay him a visit. Pay him a surprise visit. Check on your car. You got to keep nudging him. You hate to have to do it, but you got to get your car together.
Yep.
So he started going, paying him a visit. And didn't know the man had some kind of sickness and ailment, but he ended up passing away. So he got his car back. There's still a few more things that ain't wired up, but the engine is built, the chassis is together. So it could have went real south.
Yeah. And, you know, if it's close by, so you can ride by, and you don't even have to talk to nobody, see if your car been moved, or see if they're getting more cars in front of your car, and they're just pushing your car further and further back. If it's close enough, you know, you can ride and check that out. That's another reason why, you know, I pointed that out. You ride and look right
there.
Yeah,
because it's...
And my car ain't moved. It's sitting in the same spot.
It's common. It's a common thing when you take your car to a shop, no matter whether it's the engine, chassis, or whatever. A lot of times, this is a known thing that happens. They will take your car in, use your money for something else, and then now they got to wait on the next two jobs to come in so they can get yours finished. But then the next person come in, want their stuff done in a week, so they're going to stop and finish them and then put you on the back burner. Then somebody else going to come in, they're going to get that money and put you on back burner. Before you know it, 6 months to a year, 2 years and past.
Don't worry about it.
And that's bad business. Totally bad.
All you heard is a bunch of lies.
Business. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And ride by
I'm going to get to it. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need that. And he ain't even lift a finger. The car got more cobwebs on it now than he did when he told him he needed the first six
Never
parts.
Moved. Never move from the day you bought it there.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
But if you get that receipt, man, that's the thing. You can talk all the turkey you want, then pull your stuff out too, because you got a receipt what's supposed to be done, and then you ain't try to do anything yet. and we had a deadline, you know, to get this record done, and you ain't try to do anything, and I got a receipt in my pocket, man, I'm putting my trailer gates down. I'm getting up out of here. For the simple fact, one of the biggest reasons why I'm going to load my stuff up and go is I feel I've made you angry, and you ain't going to do right anyway. You're just going to throw me anything. So I don't want that.
It'll feel good.
You throw me anything, so I'd rather just haul myself on up.
There's a few good guys out there. You just got to find them. And if you get a good referral, like Brent did, that's good. But there's some people out there that's good. Some of them ain't worth good business.
Yep, but you want to haul yourself out, like he said, his car's going. Man, people get really, really crazy sometimes. And
yeah.
For no reason. Cause a big old confusion for nothing. All they got to do is do right. You don't want to do that, though.
Yep.
Don't want to do right. Do you hear about the street races up there, Jake?
And street races here?
Yeah, do you hear about many of them up there in Chicago?
Here in Detroit, unknown, street racing is outlawed.
But I mean, do you get any information for anybody in Chicago?
No.
Okay.
And then I got to, you know, by me being a radio host, I got to stay away from them street races. For the simple fact somebody might be listening. And we don't condone street racing here on the show. But I'm sure some people out there still sneak and go do it. But years ago, street racing was well known, and we used to do it. But they got to the point now, they first offense, $3,000. Second offense, $6,000. And you may not get your
car. Did you take your
car? Yeah,
on the first
car
offense?
Second offense. No, second.
Oh, take your car on the second offense.
Yeah, they'll take it on the second. You'll be able to get it back on the first one. By the time they get through charging you for storage towing, then you got to go to court and all that. Man, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. They are hell on us about street racing. It's best and safer to just go to the racetrack. We've got Lapeer Racetrack. We go as 1 hour and 15 minutes, 1.5 hours to go to Lapeer. We can go to Onondaga, which is 1.5 hour drive from Detroit. We're still waiting to see if Milan is going to be open. Matter of fact, I better give y'all the information on this Milan thing. Let me see if I can pull it up.
No looking over your shoulder.
Okay. Let me pull up this Milan stuff. I wanted to try to figure out a way to put it on the show. Hold on 1 second, fellas. Let me go back. Well, I can't put it. Can y'all hear it? I'm gonna play it. I'm gonna see if y'all can hear it. If you can't, we'll just.
still there, Shake?
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
So what now?
I didn't hear anything.
Okay. We've been waiting until we've been waiting over about 2 months for to see if they're gonna come up with an answer. What we do know is Milam been bought for $3 million. We ain't getting much information, and it seemed like they still holding a lot of stuff back. But Milam was bought for $3 million. There's two names that's the owner. I think it was a Harry, I can't remember the guy's name, but it was two owners. Then they did say that the settlement was $850,000 was paid off to somebody. Then there was $355,000 was paid off to another party. And then the IHRA had their hands in the pot, too. The IHRA got $73,000. But the guy on the radio, he did mess up that. He did say 7,000 and something bucks. But at the end of the video, it showed on the docket it was 73,000 and something. That's what the IHRA got. So...
Mm-hmm.
Is it over with? We don't know. We don't think so, because the guy that's the attorney that's in charge of it haven't had his final say. And when he give his final say, then everything is etched in stone. So now we gotta wait until they go back to court again and find out what the heck that he's going to come up with, because it was a bunch of objections, and objections while they was in court. So they just inching us along. We do know the track was bought. We do know how much it was, $3 million. We do know the name of the people and who got paid. So are Milam going to open up this year? We don't know. Because they're supposed to do one race in order to keep the licenses going on in Milam. Because they ain't been open all year, and the rules were you gotta have one race, at least one race, in order to keep your licenses and stuff. If they're going to discuss that in court and try to get that waived, I don't know. But that is all they gave us from the CKIW 76 radio. He follows that to the T. But that's all we got so far, fellas. It will be a racetrack. But they probably ain't gonna open up until next year. We're still looking to see if they do one race this year and see how that turned out.
Well, I will try to get as many people as possible to come there. I'll get with the right people that do the races and the right crowd as much as possible. I mean, that's what I would do, where you can really put the track together like you want.
What you say,
like
I know.
It should be. I said I would do as many good races as I possibly could, get with a couple of people that sponsor races, a couple of sponsors that really sponsor nice, good events, and just sit back and get some money on the shelf so I can really get the track like it's supposed to be this winter. So when there's some open back up, then I deal with the same or even some more sponsors, good sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
You can't live by yourself. Can't live by yourself. You got to do it right. Yep.
Yeah.
No matter what kind of race. No matter what kind of race it'll be. Yeah.
Well, I'm to the point where I'm just going to sit back and wait and see what come about it.
That's right.
Ain't nothing we can do anyway, but we're so anxious to have Milan going because it was the closest track, and it was a pretty good track. So I'm really thankful. Long as them other people that was running it ain't in control no more, man. The stuff that they kept pulling on people, man, and messing over people and getting into fights and kicking people out, all that garbage. Man, that's sometimes worse than these grudge races.
Yeah, it ain't a good bunch of foolishness.
Yeah.
Bunch of foolishness.
Well, that is the report that all I have, and I'm going to stay tuned and see what else they come up with. And I'll give it to y'all as soon as I get it. Say, Brent.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go ahead and go to the bank, get you a couple of $1 million out, and get these guys the $1 million for the tracking? You open it up the way you see fit, man. You know you got the money.
That'd be nice.
You know you got the money.
Did I hear you
say something about a track an hour or not far from your house, 15 minutes? Are they, what's that Detroit Raceway?
No, that's in my hometown in Arkansas.
Oh, in Arkansas, okay.
Yeah, we just got approved for a racetrack, and it's 15 minutes from my house. And it's been a long time coming. We've been trying to get one for years, but it's finally been approved, and they got the location where they're going to build it, too, so. And it's going to be right across the street from the race, from the casino. So that's good.
Nice.
That's good. All right, fellas. It's 11 o'clock. I think we better go ahead and wrap it up and get on up out of here.
Oh yeah,
I'm getting a little sleepy, and it's raining, and I gotta get up early in the morning. I'm just gonna be late tomorrow. That's just all it's for. Gonna be late. All right, I want to thank everybody for coming in here on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show. A good topic. My boy Unknown came up with a good topic, and it kind of worked out for our best interest, because it's always try to get you a receipt for the work that is getting done. Try to find out everything, get it itemized, like Brent said, and find out what they're going to do. Get it in writing, people. With that being said, we're going to get on up out of here. Always keep God first in everything you do, people. Always put God first. Want to say happy birthday to my boy Brent. And congratulations. He turned 92. I'm sorry. 52. Congratulations, bro. Hope you stick around long as I am. Always, people, put God first. We're getting up out of here. I holla.